Right, ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
Well, you're rock and roll the whole time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Venter Blog here at the Isle of Wight Festival 2010, and we are with the Hartnell Brothers.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, great, reforming. Must be really exhilarating to be back in the game. Well, I mean, I know you carried on doing stuff, but what's the reason to reform?
Because it felt right. It's the simple answer. Do you know what I mean? It was like we'd missed it. It seemed like a good idea at the time, and it just felt right. Ready to get back and do it. You know.
Yeah, I think with this time round, I really, you know, I was saying to Paul, you know, like before, you're sort of doing album tour, and you're always chasing your tail, you know, and it's very. The older I get, I'm getting much into more like trying to live in the present, you know, real sort of. And that's what I've been doing, really. We've got nothing to prove anymore, really. I'm not worrying about the next album or, you know, trying to keep the kettle boiling or anything. So it's been lovely and really enjoyable, actually, over the last year, getting back out there and that. It's been great, really good.
I mean, we thought about it as we were being glamorous and taking the bus up here today. And we're just thinking, once you're a successful group, the pressures must be enormous to sort of carry on producing.
Well, I think
it's internal as well, external.
Yeah, the pressure is to keep this job that you've got going because you really love it. It's a funny one, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's the thing. I think it's the eternal sort of struggle as you go on. It's that thing of, you know, sort of balancing expectation with art. Do you know what I mean? And as soon as you start worrying about the expectation, it all crumbles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's sort of. This time round, it feels more comfortable in the sense that it's almost like, you know, look, I'm not going to, you know, we're just going to do what we want to do and enjoy it and not worry about it. You still do, of course you do. Whenever you do art, you always think about the final presentation and who's going to look at it and what they're going to think. And do you know what I mean? But you've just got to put that aside because the best stuff always just comes from just being innocent and natural and just doing it, you know.
It's funny, we were watching Squeeze the other night and listening to them. I mean, they're tremendously polished, fantastic musicians, doing a great show. But then listening to the songs, it felt a disconnection between when they were writing sort of up the junction and what they're doing now. You know, your life changes so dramatically when you get that success, I guess. Is that something you found, of the raw stimulation that you had when you were creating the stuff?
You certainly create different music now, I think. But then, I don't know. It's hard to
change that much. I mean, I don't know. We haven't experienced the success that has completely changed our lives. It just means we've got quite a decent regular job, really, I suppose. In that sense,
yeah.
You know, I couldn't retire tomorrow if I wanted,
right?
Or anything like that at all. But it's, yeah.
I think most people find that quite surprising.
Yeah, I do.
Damn.
It's partly down to a major record deal and a first wife, in my case, so to be honest.
So, I mean, we're also thinking about, you know, how the record business has changed so much since when he started. And what's the daftest bit of advice that some record producer, or not producer, exec, has given you along the way?
Advice. Yeah, I'm my head's running through a sort of Rolodex of ridiculous conversations that I've had.
The thing that springs to my mind is the guy from London Records, the press officer. So we were going in there first to meet
in New York.
In London. What was it? What did he say? Do you remember? It's like, come on, guys, what's the story then? What's the spin? Or something? I don't know. What the fuck is going on about?
Yeah, no, I don't remember that particularly.
What are you talking about? America?
I was remembering when we walked into a board meeting in New York, and there literally was a guy with red braces on, all that kind of thing. He's like, hey guys, come on, tell me, how are we going to sell this record? And it's just like,
it's
fuck
like,
off.
Yeah, it's like, hello.
That's your job? Right. You know, how are you going to sell it? You know,
you
I'm just going to make it.
Record.
You know,
we've done the hard stuff.
Yeah,
but.
So, how are you finding these changes in the record business now? I mean, like I was saying, I think the first track was recorded on, well, this is what Wikipedia says. On your dad's tape player.
Yep. Wikipedia's correct again. Damn them Wikipedias. They're always correct. Yeah.
Well, actually, what's the daftest thing you've read on Wikipedia about yourself that wasn't true?
No, it's all true.
Is it?
Yeah, so far.
Right.
The last time I checked, I'll put that little footnote in. Last time I checked, it was all correct.
Yeah, I can't think of
it. It was a few years ago.
But
No, it was actually frighteningly correct, yeah. Right down to knowing which one of my friends came up with the name Orbital as
wow,
well, and things like that.
Crazy. So what about the change in the record business now? It's I mean, everyone can be a record producer. Everyone can put their own tracks out.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good thing, you know, and the internet has sort of, you know, like my mate Lee Coombs, he'll make a record over in Miami and he can send it over to me as soon as he's made it and I could be playing it that night, do you know what I mean? And that's sort of taken the replacement of the white label, I suppose, but yeah. It means a lot more people can get their music out there. But
totally
they can't
free,
sell it,
isn't it?
Yeah, but they can't sell it really because nobody's into buying it. Really.
So the big focus is then tours, I guess, from that point.
Yeah, at the moment it seems to have turned around, isn't it?
Well, we're lucky. We're lucky in our position because we were, you know, we built up a rep. You know, we built our band up, and we can sort of make a bit of money out of playing live. You know, but I don't know what you do if
we're. Well, yeah, at the moment we're getting good slots. At festivals, and we can do quite big gigs. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be starting out now, but it obviously works for some people because there's, you know, there's lots of younger bands playing here, and they're obviously doing all right, and you know. They must, you know, they've got their deal somehow, and they must be selling some records.
Yeah,
you know, but it's not. But records don't sell like they used to. That's for sure. You know, and so it's not.
What is that sort of famous thing that there's a whole generation that doesn't even imagine you should ever pay for music?
No, I know.
Which I mean, and they're the ones that are creating it as well. So there's sort of a dilemma for them, I guess.
Well, some of them are, but you know what, they're going to end up with a whole load of homogenous crap to listen to, because basically if you don't pay that middle strata of the stuff that, say, John Peel used to play, like the Wedding Present bands that, and the Fall bands that were sort of big in, enough to earn a living, like Phil was saying, Cabaret Voltaire, you know, a lot of the bands that we used to listen to, they used to earn a living. They weren't superstars, but they weren't scraping along the bottom either. They were earning a nice living from it. Right. They're the people that's the bit that's missing now.
Right.
You've got the pub rockers still, and you've got the super sort of Lady Gagas and that kind of thing going on. But the sort of interesting sort of arty stuff in the middle, it's going to disappear.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just going to end up with a mediocre sea of sort of music made by people who think stitching a few sort of loops together on Ableton means they've made a track, which doesn't. Do you know what I mean? It means they've stitched a few loops together on Ableton. You know, and obviously there are people doing great stuff with Ableton. Don't get, I'm not sort of, you know, I use Ableton. I'm not slagging it off or anything, but it's easy to make you feel like you've made some music with technology nowadays when you haven't really done that much. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's one thing to have the technology at your fingertips, but to know how to use it well, anyone can pick up a guitar, but not everyone can play it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the craft over the just the technique, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, if you want good craftsmen, you've got to give them time to learn their skills. Do you know what I mean? Which means paying them for their work.
Yeah, right. So on the thought of the future, you mentioned you had children. I don't know if you got kids, but what's the one piece of advice? Again, on the bus today, we're thinking you've had this pretty crazy life, you know, touring around the world. Lots of people obviously see that as something that's pretty amazing, and the experiences you've had are probably, well, some of them probably you couldn't write down, but there was two things. One was, what place would you have you been to that you would think that people would never think of going to that was amazing?
Krakow. I was really impressed. I didn't expect anything there, and it was an amazing city.
Architecturally, or
architecturally, just felt really sort of, it was sort of beautiful, sort of European, you know, like, you know, totally what you know, like a sort of cliche of what you imagine it to be like there. You know, very sort of, you know, at the end of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something. You know what I mean? It was brilliant.
What's it catching?
That was pretty impressive. Where else? But people wouldn't think to go. That's a hard one. I can think of loads of good places that I've been, but not loads of good places that people wouldn't think to go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the tough one.
Well, while you're mulling on that one, and I can see it's got some serious thought going to this.
Yeah,
it's pleasing.
All the good places I'm thinking of are places that everyone would think to go, though. Do you know what I mean? And there's a reason. I can't think, there's no real obvious big surprise, like, oh yeah, that was a good place that nobody would have thought about, you
right.
know. Right. I don't mean to disappoint, but I can't think of anywhere
okay.
that's standing out in that capacity, you know.
Well, here's another challenger for you. When your kids are growing up, the temptation I feel is always to try and, I guess it's a natural thing. You want to help them along the way and give them advice, and you realise eventually, I think I'm getting to the point where I realise I've got to shut up and let them get on with it themselves and make their own mistakes. But, you know, there's a significant point, I guess, 18, or maybe it's not even 18 anymore, maybe it's 14, I don't know what it is. What's the piece of advice that you have held back from telling your kids that you're going to say to them, that from the experience that you've had, that a real piece of knowledge you can pass on?
I haven't held back from anything, really.
No, I haven't. Don't mix your uppers with your downers.
That's a pretty good life advice.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll transport back again.
There's nothing I've held back on.
Yeah.
But, they might look blankly at me. They're only 9 and 5. So
right.
When I say things, like, yeah, I'll tell you later. You know.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I think the one thing that I've learned that I think I would try and encourage them, and I don't know how to say it concisely, but that's just sort of, you've really got to go for what you want to do, and you've got to be determined, and you've got to get your arse in gear, basically. Do you know what I mean? Because if you don't, someone else is going to.
Right.
You know, you've just got to, if you want it, you've got to go for it.
Single-minded.
Yeah, you know, just got to do it.
Right.
You know,
it's not a rehearsal, I guess.
Yeah. That, it's that kind of thing, you know. Right. You just got to go for it.
Yeah.
So it's the one thing I always noticed doing music. Do you know what I mean? When you're sort of younger, and you see it in people now. It's like the people with a sort of appetite for it. Do you know what I mean? And determination. They're the ones who make it. It's not necessarily the skillful people, or the best people, or the most creative people. It's the ones who want it.
Right.
Who want something. You know.
Brilliant. So, okay. Great advice. And I'll take the uppers and downers one
yeah,
as well.
I'll take that, yeah. I haven't told him that yet, even though my oldest is 22, but he's...
Too late, he won't listen now.
No, he won't. They don't listen to me anyway, so I was...
That's from about the age 8 onwards, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, okay. two onwards, actually.
Brilliant, okay, thanks a lot for your time, I appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers.